Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, what a day this is already shaping up to be.
Yeah, right?
Retirement fund is going away. Dow dropped 700 points earlier this morning. And why does this stuff always happen? Roe versus Wade was announced at 9:30 in the morning. It's always right before showtime. You heard on ABC News, Harvey Weinstein's conviction overturned.
Unbelievable.
How?
I mean, and all right. So what happened was it was a decision that was made by the judge. And I remember at the time during the trial, and it's been a fair while since that trial happened. But I remember at the time it raised some eyebrows and there were some legal scholars weighing in going, I'm not sure that's such a great idea. And it was kind of similar to the same way that the Cosby trial shaped up, where the judge said, okay, there's a lot of women who have a lot of things to say about things that Harvey Weinstein did to them, but those things are not part of this trial. However, I'm going to go ahead and let that testimony in. I'm going to go ahead and let them testify and have their say, even though the crimes that they're referring to are not things that he has yet been charged with and may never be, because in some cases the statute ran. I mean, it was identical to the Cosby situation.
Sorry, before you keep going, if I recall correctly, the reason they allowed it in the Cosby case was not necessarily about the stuff he was actually accused of doing, but more is like to show character.
Yes.
To give context to who he was at the time.
Exactly. But the problem with that is there's a rule in the law that says you cannot bring in prior bad acts under most circumstances. There are, you know, there are times and places where you can. But in most circumstances, prior bad acts can't come into a trial, because just because you robbed a bank 20 years ago doesn't mean you robbed this bank today.
Right.
It's that sort of thing.
Right.
Well, that was the testimony that they allowed into Harvey Weinstein's trial. And an appeals court said, no, that was improper. The state appeals court in California said that the decision to let women testify about allegations that weren't part of the case was a mistake, prejudiced the jury. Therefore, they could have gotten a conviction based on things that were never, ever proven. You can't do that. So they tossed the conviction and are now asking for a new trial.
This was in 2020. He was given 23 years behind bars. Isn't he in his 70s?
Yes.
At this point? Okay.
So that it was effectively a death sentence. When he was sentenced to 23 years behind bars, I believe he is now 77.
Okay.
I think I saw that this morning. 72. I'm sorry. He's 72. So yeah, he began serving that 23-year sentence following the conviction in 2020.
I'm just looking for what the appeals court said. The trial court erroneously admitted testimony. As John said, the court compounded that error when it said the defendant with no criminal history could be cross-examined about those allegations. Spokesperson for the Manhattan DA's office said it would push to retry the case. I look at this and go, why did the judge allow that in the first place? And why did the prosecution push for that? And could they not have gotten a conviction without it? Like, if you think you could get a conviction without it,
sure.
And there's a gray area in the law there, why let it in?
And maybe they didn't, is the answer. I mean,
yeah,
I guess
that's true.
If the prosecution just looked at that as a gift and said, hey, the judge is going to let us cross-examine him about stuff he's not being tried for, awesome.
Yeah.
We can make him look really bad with this stuff. That, I mean, I don't know that the prosecutors in any case would step forward and say, Your Honor, we really don't want this gift you just gave us.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I mean, they probably just went along with it. And figured that it wouldn't be that big a deal because of the evidence that they already had against Harvey Weinstein for the things that he was actually on trial mm-hmm. for. So, it was a terrible mistake. And now the only thing that remains to be seen, and I haven't seen this yet because this all just broke within the last hour or so, is does he now get release pending a new trial? You're nodding your head.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you don't
know.
Right. Okay, yeah.
That is the question I have, too. Do you know what the precedent for that is?
I don't. And I wish
don't either.
I did. I know in some cases they are let out and in some cases they're not. But I honestly do not know what makes the difference.
I mean, they overturned the conviction.
Yeah.
How do you keep him behind bars when he effectively, at least on paper, is no longer convicted of those things?
Now, he was also convicted in 2022 of another mm-hmm. rape, which would probably keep him in prison pending the new trial, because that one has not yet been over. It has not been overturned.
Which one was that? As I go through,
that was he was sentenced to 16 years in prison behind that one.
Okay, and I see 2006, I see 2013, I see 2022. Oh, there it is. Yeah, he was acquitted of a count of sexual battery in that case.
Right, but he was sentenced. So the sexual battery charge was tossed, but he got 16 years for rape. So they convicted him of rape and acquitted him of sexual battery.
So did they just say, because he's in prison in New York, right?
Right now? Is he in New York or is he in
is
Los Angeles? I thought he was in prison in California, but not.
That
I'm
would
not
make
100%.
Sense then. You're letting him serve those two sentences.
You're right. He is in New York. Yeah.
Okay.
He'd been serving the 23-year sentence in a New York prison following the conviction on charges. So, yeah, will they have to transfer him to prison in California?
Right. And then now he just starts. And I wonder what agreement they had about that. I don't know if one took precedent over the other. I can't remember. It didn't matter because he was so old, he was never going to get to serve the second one.
Sure.
So maybe now they send him to California and you start serving the sentence for the other one.
And it could be as simple as California went, okay, you sentenced him to a longer sentence than we did. You go ahead and take him.
Right, right. As long as he's behind bars, who you know, who's paying for him to be behind bars is really the question at that point. So we are not lawyers, but the legal question now sits, and again, your point was exactly correct. That's exactly how Bill Cosby was. I don't know if it's how he was convicted, but it was exact same thing. He was Pennsylvania, wasn't he? Wasn't Bill Cosby Pennsylvania?
I think you're right. Yeah, because I remember the day that he got out, and he was, they had a helicopter following the car, following him all the way home. And yeah, I believe that was in Pennsylvania.
So now we have the question of the role of that testimony from other allegations, regardless of what kind of case it is, other allegations against a person that are not charges in the current case, to what extent those witnesses should be allowed to testify about those things. Because what you said about tainting the jury pool, even if that person's not on trial for those things, now they know those allegations exist.
Right. Well, and what you have to hope is that every other judge in the world is going to pay attention to this and say, okay, when I'm faced with a similar thing, as much as I would like to have other people testify that, yes, this guy did this similar thing to me, that if it's not something he's charged with or has ever been convicted of, I can't do that because it's simply prejudicial. And there's no, as far as the courts are concerned, there's no reason to believe that those allegations are true.
Except that this is a state court decision, right?
Yes.
This is not a federal decision.
Correct.
This is state court of appeals. Okay. So what every other judge in the country needs to do now is look at the laws of their state and see how they compare to the laws of New York and just double check and triple check now before you allow the... My fear of this is that judges will kind of overreact to this ruling. And in cases where it should be allowed and is needed, they just won't do it now.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, it's like anything else. Really, what this all comes down to is know your job.
Right. Yeah. It's very simple.
I mean, you said it perfectly. If you're in a given state, you had better well know exactly under what circumstances you can bring in things that are not part of the trial. And in most cases, it's just better not to. Go by the evidence that you have in front of you in the case that you're trying.
Unless there is a role for some of the character stuff. The way it felt, and I hate saying this, but the way it felt with Bill Cosby and the way it felt with Harvey Weinstein was we only could try on one or two of these charges, but we don't want to ignore the breadth of other allegations. We'll just try to squeeze them in here somewhere.
Sure, because Harvey Weinstein was a big name in Hollywood for 40 years.
Right.
So the idea that somehow, you know, you're going to have a lot of those cases, you're going to have a lot of things that happen that you can't try because the statute's already run.
I know it's a lot of legalese, but if you have thoughts, 913-586-7798. We'll take a break. We'll get to more of your comments coming up here on KMBZ. Quick note about weather that's going to be coming through here. Nick Bender put quite a bit up about this on social media earlier this morning. It's not today that's going to be the bigger problem, but he seemed to target 3 until 9 p.m. tomorrow. That's going to be most likely to have trouble. What's wrong, John?
I'm going to a concert tomorrow night. That's what's wrong.
Oh, of course you are. That always happens. I mean, it's cloudy and dark out right now, and we might have stuff today, but it sounds like tomorrow is really could be problematic for Dana and Parks.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't stop tomorrow evening either. There's some more weather that's supposed to come through over the weekend that could be particularly nasty as well. So just because we're getting pounded on Friday doesn't mean we're going to be safe on Saturday.
And keep your headlights on.
Yeah, please.
Turn your headlights on, as we will remind you many times. All right, moving on to this story about this firefighter with KC Fire Department. We talked about this extensively when this guy was first allowed to go back onto the department. There have been protests allowing him to come back, and now we're learning a lot more about it.
Yeah, because the one question that we had outstanding about this is Dominic Piscary. This is the guy who was alleged to have driven through a crowd in Westport and killed three people and put in an Alford plea. So I guess alleged isn't really correct anymore. I mean, he was convicted of it, but it was an Alford plea, which means that he didn't admit any wrongdoing, but admitted that the state had enough evidence to convict. So when the announcement was made that he was going to be allowed back onto the roster of firefighters, we wondered, okay, who allowed this? And what's the city doing about it? Why would the city of Kansas City even think about letting him back onto the firefighting force? And the answer is they didn't want to. In fact, they still don't want to. It was an arbitrator who made the decision. Initially, the decision was that he was suspended. And it appears as though the mistake that was made here is that the fire chief announced within the first couple of days that they were suspending him and starting the process to fire him. And I guess you're not supposed to say that out loud, even if it's true. So the arbitrator came in and said, no, because you did that, we're going to take the suspension down to a 3-day suspension, which, if you do the math, is 1 day for each person who was killed. And that's not a great look, but it was the arbitrator's decision to allow him back to be a firefighter in Kansas City again. And the city really had their hands tied. They're now going back in and trying to have the arbitrator's decision overturned.
Let me be clear about this. This all became problematic because the fire chief said through a statement to the media that he would be suspended without pay and they would start the process to fire him.
Yes.
Wow.
That appears to be what tipped the arbitrator to say, okay, you've already done this wrong. And I don't know what those rules are about when you can make that kind of an announcement, but
right. But
if there's a union rule, for example, that says any allegation like this has to go through arbitration first, then if you say we're going to fire this guy or we're going to go through the process of getting him fired before arbitration, you're skipping a step. You're not really allowed to do that. So, I mean, that seems to be the way things have shaken out here. But what the city is doing right now is saying, look, the facts of the case are what's important here. So the fact that you had three people die, you had $3 million worth of damage done, all of these other things, and the fact that he put in this Alford plea, which does come with a guilty verdict,
right,
means that it doesn't really matter that that misstep was made.
Boy, there also seems to be questions about if the arbitrator went too far in its in his or her authority here.
I think the arbitrator is the only person who thinks the answer to that is no.
Right.
I mean, Everybody else is looking at this going, of course the arbitrator went too far.
And then I ask, boy, if you know more about union stuff than we do, tell me then, if your beef is with the arbitrator, who do you go, who's your next step then? This was out of Fox 4. The city said, oh, it keeps bouncing around me. The arbitrator was only supposed to determine whether the suspension without pay was done with due process and just cause. But the arbitrator also ruled references to the fatal accident should be removed from his personnel file. And he's young. Is he not? He was pretty young in the job at the time.
Yes. I don't remember exactly how long he'd been on the job, but it was not long.
So that means if he decides to leave KCPD or KCFD, excuse me, and go to Independence or just go to Minneapolis, wherever, go to somewhere where this doesn't make news. Again, I don't know like what in personnel file, but somebody has access to that personnel file and this will not be there.
Right. And so they would have no reason not to hire him. I mean, we see this same thing. We've talked about this before with police officers who have been a problem. And what do? They bounce around from department to department in the same area a lot of the time because things like this happen and things are left out of personnel files. And there's only a limited amount of information that you're allowed to put in.
The ruling also said Kansas City should pay the union's court costs and its fight to help keep him in his job.
Yeah.
The city wants the whole ruling thrown out.
Yes, and I don't blame them. I mean,
certainly
the money is going to be a part of that as well. But we know what happened. And that's the thing that I guess drives you crazy when it comes to situations like this, is that we know what the facts of the case were. And it just seems like the union and the arbitrator are ignoring all of that. Now, he deserves a defense. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a defense. He does. But how can you, as a supposedly independent arbitrator, just ignore three deaths?
Yeah, it feels like we're getting caught up in the minutiae and a bunch of the details about how the fire chief announced what was going to happen to him. In the grand scheme, who cares?
Yeah.
Let's focus on what he did and whether he's a good firefighter and whether he should be in this job or not. And the facts of the case. I mean, we had a lot of discussion about, you know, the lights and sirens and who would have made the decision to go through the light and, you know, ultimately how experienced he was behind the wheel and just all of that stuff. Let's get into that more and not the... It just feels like bureaucratic.
Well, you said
garbage.
This when you weren't supposed to say that yet. And so,
right.
Yeah, we've got to go way to the other side and protect this guy. I just don't understand the compulsion to go out of your way to protect him, especially, again, when he admitted in court without an allocution, because that's the one thing you don't do when there's an Alford plea, but admitted in court that there was enough evidence to convict.
Yeah, and let's have the discussion about whether he should be on the job. To me, shouldn't it be about that? Somebody reminded us it was his first day driving the truck. But it's not his first time driving a truck. I mean, he was trained in how to do it, you know, and knew the rules. I feel like the bigger discussion is, do you want the guy driving the truck where three people were killed? Do you trust him? And there's so much trust involved in being a firefighter. I mean, you're putting your lives in other firefighters' hands.
It truly is a team. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So do the other firefighters trust him as a part of that team?
And if the city doesn't,
I mean,
if the city is now working hard to get this decision by the arbitrator tossed out and be able to, I mean, you have to believe that the only reason that they would do that is so that they can then be able to do what they wanted to do in the first place, which is fire him.
Right. Right. Some of you are asking, was he not ticketed by police? That would show on his driving record. I do not remember.
And it may not matter if you keep that out of his personnel file. I understand why you're asking. That kind of thing would be public record, but it wouldn't necessarily have all of the facts of, you know, what happened and the loss of life and the property damage and the fact that he was at fault.
One of you just made a point that they are not required to have a CDL, and that if he had been required to have a CDL at this point, he would never be able to have one again, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's worth a discussion, too, about are there other ways that we don't have yet, but that the law could change so that if this were to happen again in the future, at the very least, he's not behind the wheel of a fire truck again.
Yes. But if you were one of the ones, as we were, sitting there going, oh, this is such an embarrassment for the city, recognize yeah. the city thinks so, too.
Somebody said he shouldn't be a firefighter, but he didn't do anything wrong based on KCFD driving policy. They changed the policy after the wreck. That gets complicated.
Mm-hmm.
That gets hard. Okay. Again, we talk about this with teachers that are, you know, that do things that school districts don't like, and you talk about whether you want them in front of a classroom. I just ask, is this, even if he's not behind the wheel, is he good at putting out fires? Is he good at the other parts of the job?
But
that's not what they're looking at.
And as you pointed out, they also, when he was reinstated, couldn't stop him from being a driver.
Unreal. Okay, give us insight into union rules. Somebody with more, who knows more than we do, talk to us more about this. 913-586-7798. Back here with more of your comments on that next on KMBZ.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we're talking about this firefighter in Kansas City, Missouri, who was involved in a crash that killed three people. The city, it turns out, doesn't actually want him back on the job. It seems to be the arbitrator that is intent on having this guy back at work.
Yeah, and you have to wonder why the decisions were made like they were. Because, again, a bunch of you on the text line are pointing out the things that, I mean, there have been protests here in town for the last couple of days over this. And a lot of the things that you're telling us on the text line or mentioning to us on the text line are things that are true that also don't really stack up very much in his favor. Like the fact that he had been reported several times when he was an ambulance driver before
right.
he became a firefighter. When he was an ambulance driver, there were complaints about his driving then. And the most important thing, I think, as far as this case is concerned, is that fire truck was told right before the wreck not to respond, that the call was effectively taken back. And they were told, don't go. And he kept going and kept going 16 miles an hour over the speed limit and went through the red light and all of the other stuff after they had been told to stand down.
But this is the conversation we started to have too. Whose decision on the truck is that to keep going or not? Is it, and did he, was that communicated to him? I mean, just because you're driving doesn't mean you're in charge.
Yep.
So is it possible that it was a higher ranking firefighter on that truck who either decided to go anyway or was told not to go but didn't communicate it to him? The driving over the speed limit thing, I mean, we have debates about that, about under what circumstances that is okay.
Sure. And I mean, you have to at some point recognize where you are, you know, and Westport's not the easiest place to get around when you're going the speed limit.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, in the middle of the afternoon when there's not a lot going on, it's hard. So we will keep an eye on it, see what else we happen to learn, and certainly give you the updates as we get them. Okay. Now we go to the story out of Ipswich. This is New York, is
Long
it
Island.
Not?
Yeah.
Story out of the Daily Mail. Okay. This is going to be a little bit eerily similar to what happened in the school shooting in Texas, where you had officers outside. It wasn't a school, it was a house, but you had officers outside who did not have permission to enter a home as a horrible crime was underway.
Yeah, and I'm a little curious about this guy's record, too, because he's described in the article as an abusive husband, which there's no doubt about given this incident. And right. Things like this, it's not normally the first time when something like this happens, but this man ended up beating his wife literally to death with a skateboard while the police were outside the house waiting for an order to enter.
I'm not going to. Oba Dundee is his last name. Again, this was out of the Daily Mail. There were bail conditions imposed the day before that banned him from this property of where his wife was. So he already wasn't supposed to be there.
There was an order of protection or something along those lines. Yeah.
Which makes me think, does that not give police probable cause and permission to go in anyway? And it certainly should. But police were waiting. Officers heard a number of bangs inside the house in which he had gone into. And when they finally entered, 25 minutes later, they found the 41-year-old woman. I'll leave some of the details out, but severely, severely beaten.
Yeah, and she did not survive. He was arrested April 27th of last year, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if they're hearing that kind of activity going on inside, and I wonder if we're going to start hearing more in this case, as we've talked about in others like Uvalde, about the duty to protect, which technically doesn't exist. There is no duty for a police officer to protect you. A police officer does have a duty to stop a crime, but he doesn't have a particular duty to protect you from anything. And I mean, even that doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense here, given the fact that they were listening to a crime happen.
Let me go through, and some of this is going to be hard to hear, but let me go through some of the play-by-play of what happened in the 24 hours before this. We should also point out, police are under investigation for breaches of the police standards of professional behavior. So yes, they're asking the same questions we are. All right. So April 27th, he'd been arrested when police arrived at the couple's home and found that she had a split lip. Later that day, he was freed on police bail with a condition that he stayed away from that home and didn't approach his wife. He worked a night shift at a grocery store. He went home just after 9 a.m. to allegedly pick up his phone. Police get there at 9:20 in the morning, so he's there to take a statement from her about the previous night's incident. That's when they were hear repeatedly the banging noises inside. At 9:55 a.m., they forced their way in after getting approval from senior officers and found her obviously dead near the front door.
35 minutes after they got there.
And there's a lot in this story that we wouldn't even have time for about the history that this guy had. He'd accused of his wife of having affairs. He'd been investigated by police a number of times over domestic violence incidents. So he wasn't an unknown quantity. At the very least, you know these two have a history. You go to the house, you find out whose name is the house in, who lives here. I mean, police can get that information pretty quickly. Oh, yeah, this guy, there's a restraining order against him. Why is he even here? And these two have a history of trouble.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, some of the details on what he did to her in this case are just, I mean, they're breathtaking. They're that bad. If there is any good to be taken out of this at all, it's that when the final beating took place that took her life, she was very likely already unconscious.
Okay.
And you want to talk about the barest silver lining that ever existed? That's it.
The blows were so violent that the skateboard was damaged. They said he continued to attack her even after she was unconscious. They have three children together. There were arguments about bills, money. After the arrest for the murder, he was taken to a hospital because he appeared to have some sort of mental episode. He later said he acted in self-defense.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Yeah, when she's unconscious, you're not defending yourself. No. He said that she ran at him with a knife. Well, Given the fact that you weren't supposed to be there and were ordered by a court to stay away from her and the property, she was defending herself with a knife.
If you hear noises inside a home, do you not at least yell and say what's going on in there? I mean, especially if, because I'm trying to figure out what the reason would be for police not to go in and not have permission to go in. And the only thing I can think of is it is too dangerous for them to go in. Their lives would be in danger if they go in. Police are trained to know the difference between gunshots and other sounds.
Sure.
And he wasn't shooting her. He was beating her with a skateboard. Can you not tell that that's, I mean, several police officers could take the guy down.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say if there have been incidents at my house where I have been subjected to bodily harm, and when the cops get there, they hear banging noises, go ahead and kick the door in. Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead. With my blessing, go ahead. Just kick the door in, and if it isn't anything, and I just didn't hear you and I was working on something in the basement, it's all good, man. You were at least giving it your best shot.
And then we've had other cases where police have no problem essentially blowing up a home because they think there's a shoplifting suspect inside.
Yeah.
We did that story out of California. There was a 13-year-old kid that ran into a home that wasn't his, was accused of shoplifting from Walmart, and they destroyed that house.
And he ran in and ran out. He wasn't even there.
He wasn't even there. So, I think that duty to protect. And if you have experience in law enforcement, how do you feel about this? Because again, you can't ignore the fact that if they had gone in the second they heard the noise, she would very likely still be with us.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what's going to have to come under review is the idea that there is no duty to protect. Somebody's going to have to come up with it and write that law and write it in a way, by the way, that makes sense and that also protects police officers, because that's always been the hindrance to that, is that if you put in, or you even imply a duty to protect, then if anybody gets hurt while a crime is being committed and a cop is there, the cop could be held liable for that. You're going to have to very carefully draw the rules, but it seems like that's got to be there. Otherwise, incidents like this are going to happen where somebody could have been saved, and no, we have to wait for higher-ups to go ahead and tell us it's okay to go in.
And what was the holdup? Like, I wonder at what point they finally got the okay to go in.
They probably had to go to a judge.
Okay, that system's got to change. Mm-hmm. What if the judge was in the middle of a case? You couldn't find one.
Or it's 2 o'clock available in the morning instead of 9 o'clock in the morning. Or yeah, whatever. All kinds of things could go on that could hinder that process. Now, they said they were waiting for word from supervisors. But why, again, why did that take 35 minutes?
So again, I ask, was there a communication breakdown? Did somebody's cell phone not work? Did somebody not have their radio with them? Again, you go through all the stuff from Uvalde and think that's what happened there. Or did you just have a coward police officer? Because that's what it was in Uvalde. Did you just have people that didn't want to go in?
Right. Yeah. And, I also get that you don't want cops kicking in doors every time they think something might be going on inside. But yeah, I mean, when you're hearing the noises, and by the way, when you're hearing smashing noises, like somebody's being beaten, and you don't hear screams, that ought to tell you something,
right,
too.
Right. If you're not hearing a reaction, it's almost like, because they didn't hear screams, did they think it wasn't a domestic situation?
Yeah.
What did they think was going on?
And did nobody check to see if maybe his car was outside?
Right. Just a failure in every direction.
Let's go off to the phones and bring in Philip, who's calling in from Greenwood. Hello, Philip.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Welcome in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I was active duty law enforcement for 21 years as military police and as a CID special agent. And exigent circumstances, it goes over all the rest of this. Everybody's too worried about being sued these days. Law enforcement has a duty to protect under exigent circumstances. I've been on the outside of doors where I heard children being abused and spouses being beaten, and we went in. And military law is different, but at the same time, the city attorneys, district attorneys, they will protect their law enforcement if they're given that opportunity and you're in the right. You have that duty to protect life.
Yeah. And at the very least, you have a duty to stop the crime that's being committed. And if you have every reason to believe that that crime is in progress, kick the door in.
Even if not, people don't scream for no reason.
You got it.
Children don't. children don't cry bloody murder for no reason. So we've just gotten so sensitive these days that everybody's afraid of being sued or held civilly liable. And it's like, well, at least I saved a life. You can sue me all you want.
Philip,
yes.
Good will pursue.
Before we let you go, before you hang up, let me see if I can articulate this question. Are you not, are law enforcement not protected legally from, I'm asking myself, what's the worst thing that would have happened if police were wrong here? If they said, you know what, we don't have permission, we're going to go in anyway because we think that something, we think we have probable cause to go in anyway. We're hearing all this noise. We know this guy's got a history, so we're going to go in anyway. What's the worst thing that would have happened if they had been wrong? If he had been playing video games instead? As long as you had probable cause to go in, aren't you relieved of liability?
For the most part, it's up to the city.
Okay.
I'd be scared if I was in somewhere like New York that doesn't protect their law enforcement. It can range from reprimand to loss of your job. But at the same time, if you're explaining to your next employer why you were fired,
yeah,
right, they would understand.
Right.
But like you said, go ahead and fire me. You know, what's the worst you could do? I saved somebody's life.
Exactly. In my experience, a lot of my younger agents, new guys on the job, they were afraid that it would impact their career. And I'm going to tell you for a reason. That's why I retired, because Army CID would not have your back. Probably the past 5 years, they just don't back up their people. They'd rather just roast you over the coals and go on with their day because their jobs are secure.
Yeah, it's sad, but Philip, we'll take your word for it. Thanks for your service, buddy.
Thanks, Philip. Appreciate it.
And thanks for the call as well. That's obviously not a good situation. And he was talking about military police versus civilian. And I'm sure the rules are different in a lot of fairly significant ways. I don't know what those ways are. He would. But the point gets back to the one way that police officers are protected is that you can't sue a police officer individually for what they do on the job. You sue the city. So
right.
I can understand them being afraid for their, you know, for losing their jobs or whatever, but you know you're indemnified against lawsuit personally. They can sue the city, big deal. You don't have to pay it.
Yeah, as long as you're not just entering for no reason whatsoever, just for giggles, but you have a reason to. All right, if you have thoughts here, 913-586-7798. Back here to wrap the hour next on KMBZ. Phone number here, 913-586-7798. Happy to have you with us here. We'll get to your calls. The stories are hard today, but this was out of New York where you had a guy with a lengthy history of domestic violence problems with his wife, whom he was still married to the point that there was a restraining order against him. He wasn't allowed to go back to the house. And I mean, the ink wasn't even dry on the restraining order, and he went anyway and beat his wife to death while police waited outside,
listening to what was going on inside, and didn't breach for 35 minutes until they finally got word from the superior that they had the all clear to go in. It should never, ever happen like that. I mean, it seems so obvious to us, and yet things like this and Uvalde still happen. Brenda's in Excelsior Springs. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've lived this with my mother. Her husband beat her, and the police would wait outside the house. Obviously, I don't know why, maybe for permission to come in, the same story. However, one of the police orders told my mother to get a court order. And if you have a court order, the police don't have to wait. They have something already in hand that says he is not allowed to be on the premises. He's there, and they can go in. So I'm confused as to why these police stayed outside the house unless they didn't know there was a court order.
Either that, yeah, you're right, because what I was thinking is, did they know that it was him? Did they know that he
right.
was inside? Because they were going there to check on her and just make sure everything was okay.
An interviewer about the incident the day before.
Right. So, yeah, they may have gotten there, heard what was going on inside, but they didn't have any proof that it was him.
Yeah, I mean, the police would see, because sometimes it would be my sisters or I calling them, and we were 9, 10, and 12 years old, so it was... It's a sad situation. It's awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Brenda, thank you. Yeah, and maybe part of the solution to that is if you have somebody who has been given an order of protection or somebody who's been given a court order to stay away, that the bar for going in should be lower because you already have an indication that something's going on. So if you're hearing noises inside the house and you knock on the door and nobody answers, there's your all clear.
Yeah, and should the fact that there is a history between the two people listed for that home figure in? Is that enough? Because in my mind, you're an officer out there and you should be building a case in your head of potentially, is there something really awful going on here? Or is this guy playing loud video games?
Yeah.
And if you know what you know, go check. Again, I ask, what's the harm in checking?
And if you make the mistake, right, I mean, you know, in a case like that, I believe the rule says you would have to go in with your gun drawn.
Okay.
But don't go blasting away. I mean, you know, right. Don't come in the door, bang, 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 you know, Dirty Harry style. No, I mean, go in. But if it does turn out to be a mistake with the, you know, loud video games or somebody, you know, working in the garage or whatever it happened to be, then at least you have, okay, these were the circumstances, numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that led me to make the decision that I did. And that should be enough to cover you.
Yeah, it's just really unfortunate. And again, you want police departments now to reevaluate all of these policies. And like we said at the beginning of this conversation, the officers that were involved here are being investigated for their behavior, which makes me think, really, was it they waited, they didn't have the okay from the supervisor, or was there something else going on?
Yeah. Were there rules in place that they ignored that would have allowed them not to wait?
Right. Right. So we will continue to follow that one and see what else comes out of that. I just want to point something out real fast while we've got 15 seconds here, and we might try to get Joanne Weeks from Ascendison. Southwest Airlines, as a result of the Boeing problem, is canceling a ton of flights all of a sudden and pulling service out of multiple cities. That might have some effects on your travel plans, so we're working on getting more details on that story. Coming up, we will go to Portland for this next one. The reason a woman claims she's got a case against the city over a pothole. Get to that coming up here in KMBZ. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.